Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're here for another week of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. It's my big joy to be able to welcome a very special guest today, Sister Miriam James Heidland, who is a SALT sister. I'll let her explain what that all means, but is a really dynamic woman of God who is ministering all across the country and helping Catholics of all ages really not only encounter Jesus, come to know the Lord, the richness, the full richness of the Catholic Church, but to bring tremendous grace and healing to people's lives. And so she's in town for a conference we're hosting here, and she's been gracious enough to come on the program. So we're going to record a bunch of programs today, hopefully, for the week. Yay. So welcome, sister.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on your show.
No, it's wonderful. So tell us, what's a SALT sister?
SALT sister.
Salt and peppers? Like shaker? No.
People often say that.
Yeah.
It's the Society of Our Lady of the Most Holy Trinity, and we were founded in 1958 by Father James Flanagan. So we're celebrating 60 years this year.
Congratulations.
And we are about to apply for pontifical approval from the Holy See. So that's the last step for a religious community to become approved by the Holy See. So it's a huge year for us.
Wonderful.
And so it's been wonderful preparing
for
that.
So we've seen a number of your members of your community up here at Sacred Heart Major Seminary in Detroit.
Yes, yeah, our men go there. Mm-hmm. And we just opened a convent in the last year at the parish there. So that's another initiative that's been really wonderful. So we always serve with our own priest, our own soul priest, our own soul laity. That's kind of how we serve as a team. So that's our charism of serving as a team together. And so it's always nice to open up a new mission, yeah. Especially for the sisters.
Well, you have. I've had the privilege of hearing your story on a couple of occasions. Mm-hmm. I wonder if we could just kind of start there. Just tell your story and let's just share and see where the Lord leads us over the next few days.
Sure. I grew up in Washington State, the rainy Pacific Northwest, and so that's why I love coffee. And my parents are from South Texas and very faithful Catholics. My dad converted to marry my mother, and my dad was like the one guy at the rosary group, and he was the one guy at the prayer group. And my dad was just such a wonderful man. And always just game for discipleship, and they joined a lay discipleship group when I got older. So we went to church every Sunday, and we went to CCD. My brother and I went to CCD, but I often tell the group when I speak in public that, you know, I had never fallen in love with Christ. I learned what I thought were the rules of Catholicism, and in our house, a lot of the rules were fear-based. Okay, so we don't do this because you're going to go to hell. Okay, so which are, I'm not, great parameters, wonderful, and there is such thing as mortal sin, but fear will only motivate you so far. Mm-hmm. And so consequently, what I did fall in love with was I fell in love with sports and boys very young. And I began playing sports as a small child. And that was something that has accompanied me my whole life. So I do love sports. It's when I often use sports analogies in my talks. And so when I was in high school, I was scouted by a Division I university and I signed a full ride to play Division I volleyball in college. So there I was from a small town in a bigger university playing against some of the top teams in the nation at the time. And my life just kind of expanded in so many different ways. And I, at that time, I no longer had to go to church anymore because my mother was not there to make me go. And I became even more kind of untethered to anything that was good, true, or beautiful. And I just had many moments in my life where I said, man, you know, there's got to be more to life in this. You know, I think we hear great stories of saints like Augustine and saints that have pursued the ends of what they thought would bring them pleasure. And I think all of us know that. We know that story in different varieties. And I certainly learned that myself, and just hitting bottom in many ways of addiction. By the time I was 21, I was already an addict, and an addiction that started very young in my life because of trauma. And so really, I, during college, had to kind of face myself on different levels throughout my college career. And I wanted to work for ESPN, so or CNN or something like that, and be an announcer or, you know, a broadcaster. But God radically interrupted my entire life in the best way possible. Is what he did is he sent me a Catholic priest into my life. And that man was the first person I'd ever met that was authentically holy. I always had this idea of holiness. You know, we're named after saints, and we have this idea of saints, and we sometimes look at them as kind of plastic, one-dimensional figures. But I had never met in my life somebody who was authentically holy like he was. That man was so in love with Christ. And just the intimacy that he had with God just radiated from his face. And he was very funny and very down to earth. And he certainly had his own brokenness. He had his own story. And he wasn't perfect by any means. But that man loved God. And I remember when I was a senior in college, I'm 21 at this time, like I said, I have an addiction, my life is a mess, and I want great things for my life, I just don't know how to go about getting them. And I remember looking at Father one day, and I just, he was radiant, and I said, I don't know what you've got, like, I don't know what that is, but I want that. And that was a witness that I couldn't deny. I could have denied many things in my life, but I couldn't deny his personal encounter with Christ. It was so captivating, and I've never forgotten it. And so after I graduated from college, Father invited me down to one of our missions there in New Mexico. And it was shortly after I was there that I heard God call me to be his bride, which is, it was a surprise to myself and everybody else. Yeah. I found out years later that my mother had at one point secretly had just had enough of me. And one night got on her knees and gave me away to our Blessed Mother and had been praying and fasting that I'd become a nun, but she never told me.
Yeah. How about that? The prayers of a mother are very
they are powerful. I always tell mothers that at women's conferences, like, don't give up on your children. You know, don't ever, I don't care what it looks like. God always hears the prayers of a mother and a father because of the authority that you've been given over your child.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think in a very particular way, the prayers of the mother are so powerful.
Yeah.
So,
that's the story. My own family, people have heard it on the radio. Just my mom prayed. She had seven children and prayed all seven kids back. And some of them had to get prayed hard back into the church. And she never gave up. And every day, every day, you know, she prayed the rosary, did all three mysteries most days, I think. And back, there's four now, but in her day, it was mostly the three, right? And then when mom died, went home to the Lord. The only thing my siblings and I kind of fought over or wanted was her rosary.
Wow.
You know, it was like, that's the goal. That's the thing that really saved us all.
Amen.
Really, was all that powerful intercession. And
there's
obviously more to it, but that was the foundation of it in so many ways. But go ahead. That's your,
So that was about 20 years ago. Yeah. And so I said yes to the Lord and I joined this missionary community of which the priest was a member of. And so I've been serving the Lord ever since in a variety of ways. And it was interesting, you know, we talk about trauma and you talk about healing and you talk about restoration of the human person. I entered religious life not understanding how deeply broken I was. And I thought that whatever problems I did have would go away after I made my vows. So, you know, we have that idea of like, okay, when I get married or when I have kids or when I get the next job or when I, then all my problems are going to go away.
Yeah.
And we know that that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
And my past, as it always does, ended up catching up with me in manifesting just in deep unhappiness. I'd struggled with clinical depression for years. I didn't know that I was, it's kind of funny now looking back at it. So I'm like, gosh, I couldn't believe I didn't see that about myself, but I didn't. And I just remember being in religious life at that point, well over 10 years, and just being really unhappy. And I was like, what's going on? You know, like something's not right. Cause I was never like this as a child. Like I wasn't, you know, and that began a real journey of a very honest healing in my life of beginning to tell my story. I'm an adult survivor of childhood sexual abuse and rape. Mm-hmm. And I thought that those things that happened to me when I was young would never impact me as an adult. And I was very wrong about that. There's a great saying in healing circles that suffering that is not transformed is transmitted.
Right?
So anything that happens to us in our life that isn't transformed by God, what we do is we just transmit that suffering onto others. And that's what I was doing in my life. I was transmitting a lot of my brokenness onto other people, a lot of my unrealistic expectations. And so I, at one point, just, you know, started to go to counseling. I started to really take the journey very seriously because I knew there was something that wasn't right. And so I joke that my motto in life, but it really is true, is go big or go home. And so I said, Lord, if we're going to do this, let's just do this. And so it was a journey of being very honest about the addiction that I had. It was a journey about being very honest about the trauma that I'd undergone, about the sins that had been committed against me, about the sins that I'd committed against myself and others as well. And to this very day, I am very glad to say that the healing power of Christ emanates in my life to this very moment.
Mm.
And just this past Lent, I just had even a deeper healing experience of who I am as a woman, as a bride, as a sister, as a daughter. And so God never ends his healing of us, because healing, I was speaking recently, that healing is not fixing us. A lot of times, you know, we look at people, we're like, man, those people need healing over there. I'm fine, but they need healing. Yeah. Or it's like this fringe element in the church, or healing is fixing, you know, like, Lord, just fix me. And, you know, I have a great spiritual director who will often tell me, you know, Sister Miriam, you're not a problem to be fixed. You're a person to be loved. And relationships never cease growing. A healthy relationship will always continue to grow. And so Jesus is always coming into our life to heal us, to bring us into maturity, to integrate us. So all the parts of our hearts that are disintegrated, where we're striving over here, we have a false facade over here, or we have just even parts of our heart where we're afraid to believe how deeply God loves us. We ache for that kind of communion and intimacy and love, but at the same time, we fear it. It's a very interesting thing. So we have these parts of our hearts that are self-protective, which was what I was very convicted of this Lent, all the parts of my heart that I self-protect because I'm afraid to yearn more deeply for God's love. And so he's always coming into my life as just a very gentle but very fierce lover working to heal those parts. So I become fully alive. become fully alive, fully vibrant. And my favorite scripture ever is John 10:10, right? You know, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I came that you might have life and have it to the full. And that is always my heart. The deepest desire of my heart, I can honestly tell you, is full, rich, complete, total, consuming intimacy with Christ. Mm-hmm. That is the deepest desire of my heart.
No, that's beautiful. Now, what's caught my mind is you became a nun and thinking that the past, probably thought it's in his hands anyway, but everything's fine. But then you hit a wall.
Yes.
In the middle of your vocation, in the middle of doing the thing that you wanted to do, right? And you felt called to do.
Yes.
And for, I think people experience that in life with some regularity.
Yes.
Right? And whether it's in a marriage or whatever vocation it's in, and you say, well, where's God? Why do I feel so numb? Or why do I feel the way I feel? Where is he? And is it often, like in your case, was it because there's just undealt with pain there that's deep down and your body or whatever, your emotions are signaling you and God's actually calling you to work, right?
Yes.
In some ways. Is that what it is?
I agree with you. I think that's a variety of things. Sometimes it does. Sometimes whatever we've been using to cope or whatever has been kind of numbing or distracting us doesn't work anymore. And so it becomes very apparent. I really believe in a mind-body-soul connection because we're all connected. I believe at that point I also had an autoimmune disease, which is a very interesting thing. An autoimmune disease is when your body attacks itself, which for me was so horrifically poetic of my own life. And that was my body's way of saying, hey, you will not ignore me anymore. Like, I'm trying to tell you something. Like, there are some really deep issues here that I think we really need to look at. And so, yes, it was kind of like a perfect storm of, you know, the things that I've been doing in the past, performing well and things like that, they just weren't working anymore. So yeah, I just kind of imploded and I'm glad it did.
Yeah.
And I mean, quite frankly, God is always shattering the paradigms that I have of him and myself, quite frankly, also, which is really good. So I really believe even now in my own life, like when I'm experiencing emotional pain or spiritual pain or physical pain, I'm like, okay, Lord, what's going on here? Like, what are you trying to tell me? Or, you know, desires that I have, like, what is the ache here? Like, what is that? Because ultimately, we know it always goes back to him. Okay, so what is he trying to reveal to us in our life of areas of blockage or areas where he's trying to speak more deeply into our lives?
As you, we just have a minute on the program here, but the step you made, was there a decision? I think you said earlier, is this what you meant when you said, let's go all in. If we're going to do this, let's do this. I mean, is that basically, I'm ready, Lord, to look at this stuff I don't want to look at?
You know how it started?
Yeah.
I went to Barnes & Noble and I got a book by Dr. Phil.
Did you?
You know, because I'm like, I watched Dr. Phil, like what? I'm like, how's that working for you? It wasn't working too well. I'm not joking. It was a book by Dr. Phil that began in a real way my healing journey because it like opened all these other doors. So I went from there to Dr. Phil to a counseling to just much deeper levels. But I do have to credit Dr. Phil.
and holiness can't happen without the journey of deep and profound self-discovery.
It's so true.
Like, who am I? What am I? Well, how many layers of me is there?
I know it's infinite, right?
And the Lord will take us. He brought you to a certain point. Mm-hmm. You'd had some healing from your background already. But then all of a sudden, bam, it's not done yet.
No.
And then you have to decide again to say, I'm willing to do that. But there's a whole lot inside that says, I do not want to go there. I'm not going to do it. I'll just keep working. I'll just keep doing all the right stuff.
Yep.
And it just, it's not the solution. It's the solution is to know you have a loving Father and to say, oh, somebody's talking to me. So he wants to help me and he loves me. I think that's the piece that's so hard for us to be able to see. And so we're scared to walk into the dark by ourselves, right? You know,
we're
so sister, this program went by so fast and it's been great to have you. You're going to join us again tomorrow.
I will.
And we'll continue our conversation with Sister Miriam James Heidland. I encourage you to invite your friends to join us for tomorrow. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you a new booklet called Transform Your Marriage by Randall Serner. Recently, Pope Francis said the whole world is at war trying to destroy marriage. Marriage is a battleground today, but God has made marriage to be a blessing. And this little booklet contains wisdom that will bring life and joy and healing to your marriage. If you'd like a free copy of Transform Your Marriage, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to our website at renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to past episodes or subscribe to our podcast.